Welcome to your random episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends try to take over the world. As always, I'm your die mechanicer, Zach, and join with me are...
Con industry's getting fucked, Zach.
Who the fuck was I? I don't remember the name.
The purple one. Pseudo-Russia.
The tanks.
The somewhat Nazis, but not really Nazis.
For those of you who don't know, we are talking about Risk Legacy, the board game, which is I'm much freaking fun.
Fucking bitter about how that ended last night.
You threw the dice.
So fucking
yeah,
upset.
Threw the dice and grazed me with it. You're like a centimeter away from pegging me in the eye with the die. Not even joking.
I'm sorry. I was very upset that the fact that you fucking rolled 4 sixes in that last fight.
Yeah, but you know, on the bright side,
I will say
we unlocked a new mutation.
If you didn't roll well enough to win, I would have won the next round.
Yeah,
my next round, I would have fucking steamrolled you,
probably,
and just walked right and like, boop, I win.
Yeah, I moved all my forces out of Europe and Africa into South America, and then. Why not? Let's go into North America.
Well, if you think about it, I was just getting fucked by rolls the whole time. Like, Jim rolled 5 sixes in a row against me.
And I just
kept... like, how? How?
See, but now I'm at the most disadvantaged still. Because everyone starts with 2 stars, and I only have the 1.
But you have that damn fortify thing that saved you so many fucking
times. I don't
want
to hear your bullshit. Oh, it's that add 1 to everything. All right, I win.
I attack your home base. Well, actually.
I would have fucking won if you didn't have
that
fortification.
Yeah, that's why I didn't strike you at all, like, during that. I'm like, I'm just going to get fucked like Steve did. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to let someone else deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, it was very interesting to see just the total war path that happened. And I do feel bad for Jim. He had his 1 troop. I'm like, the bloodlust, it continues. I don't have to fight you, but I will. And just knocking Jim out of the game completely. But Zach, now you're not the only one that's ever been knocked out.
I don't care about that.
I fought for the queen, Zach.
Freaking queen. I fought for Greenland.
I can no longer start in Great Britain, though, because I established the major city of... Crap, what was it? Porkville.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, we're game 3 of our Risk Legacy game. Like, yeah, we play, like, almost once a month at this point. Because we started in February, we did March,
we can never
we
go,
April.
Like, week to week, because someone's always doing something in between weeks.
Yeah, but just sitting there, I'm like... So, if we go around the entire table, Angelica will have a turn, Jim will have a turn, Zach might win. I can't let this happen.
Like, I can't tell if I, like, screwed myself because I was like, wait, do I win here? With, like, the card count thing. It's like, oh, no, I have to wait 1 more turn. It's like, oh, damn it.
It was a good game,
though. The
minute
I said that, I'm like, he's probably going to come after me now.
I wasn't even going to go after you. I was just going to try and get South America. And then... Yeah, Steve breaking our truce.
I had to.
Could have went after North America.
No, I couldn't have.
He was actually quite far from it.
Do you know how the geography of the world works?
Well, you could go from
Japan.
Not Russia.
Yeah, but still, he didn't have anything in there. He was like 3 places away.
And if he just moved north instead of, you know, west?
You left your troops so barren that I thought, I could take this win easy. But no, your stupid fortification.
Yeah.
I swear fortified was just 1 on top of your...
Every
one of
dice
the
dice roll.
What's
on
that?
One of them.
What did you roll, Steve? 5 and 2? Oh, what did Zach roll? 5 and 2? Oh, well, he wins.
7. Damn it.
Bullshit. Yeah.
That was great. But speaking of great things, Bleeding Cool, much like their... report of the mature title for DC, are now speculating with a new rumor, which they're calling the DC Fresh Start, named after the Marvel Fresh Start initiative.
Kind of poking fun at it.
Yeah.
DC really doesn't need a fresh start. They're doing fine right now.
Yeah, but this is a It's more along the lines of just like not rebooting titles or anything, but just putting new creative teams. And the one that I am most excited for, the one that like will be freaking amazing. If it shit your pants worthy.
If it happens. If it happens. We normally don't discuss rumors, but these are rather interesting to kind of like get, like, just think about the possibilities around it.
And it seems like it could be a major possibility, especially since as of late, DC has been trying to honeypot a specific creator with, oh, here, you can do our Dark Crisis event with us. Oh, by the way, you can be a co-writer on this title with the whole Dark Universe because you helped make it. So the biggest rumor right now, especially since Robert Venditti is leaving Hal and Pals, we are getting the concept, the rumor, that Grant Morrison is going to be taking over Green Lantern duties along with Liam Sharp on art. And holy shit.
Give a space horror.
I don't even think space horror, but like just the amount of stuff Grant Morrison's done to like DC's history as a whole, like with the JLA and other things, building up mythos, him doing like super cosmic world building is just going to be like off the wall nonsense.
If it happens.
If it happens. And with Liam Sharp on art duties, I mean, come on. And this is hot off the heels of Scott Snyder announcing that Jon Stewart is going to be part of the Ultraviolet Lanterns, a Lantern Corps from the Dark Universe, which is going to be happening in Justice League issue 3. So, you know, just here's a new key issue out there in the world.
Yep.
I can't wait to see if they do the Infrared Lantern.
You would think they would.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just start getting into the obscure colors of the spectrum. Now, my question is, what emotion will he run off of? What could Ultraviolet actually represent?
I don't know. Something dark and twisted.
Like the inner rage or something?
Wish. Well, violet / purple is compassion, or indigo, sorry. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the future. Steve? You good?
Yep.
Okay. Continuing on with the DC Fresh Start rumors, all of reported by Bleeding Cool, Brian Azzarello is going to be coming back and writing a Suicide Squad title. I think this one will be interesting, just because like Suicide Squad is like, as of late has been, oh my god, that character died. 2 issues later, oh my god, they're back. They're not really dead. Like, I almost want Suicide Squad to be like the original concept of a bunch of C&D listers.
They're just actually dying.
Yeah. They actually do all have bombs in their neck and they're not good guys anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be cool. I mean, after Justice League versus Suicide Squad, they did tease Task Force 11, which with Maxwell Lord. So it'd be a very interesting concept. Because it's like, yeah, Task Force X. Yeah, this is actually the 10th iteration. What?
That they keep just reusing the Task Force X. Yeah. They don't actually increment on it, even though they keep having different teams over and over.
Mm-hmm. Along with that, we have Kelly Sue, and this is
the most like skeptical one I have.
Yeah, it's Kelly Sue DeConnick
on Aquaman. I'm just like, I would read it. I don't think it will happen, though. Like, I feel like this one is, like, it might have been, like, in the early works, but I don't know.
Well, as some people are saying, it's like, oh, since Bendis is coming over, bringing some of his creative teams, like Alex Maleev's coming over, the guy Gatos from Jessica Jones is coming over, seeing them kind of come in and be like, hey, the rest of Portland, yeah. Bendis's crew, let's go. Because, I mean, Kelly Sue's already working on that Wonder Woman title.
It's true. It's not out of the realm of possibility. I just don't see Abnett leaving Aquaman still. Like, not yet, unless, like, I don't know. It just seems like he's not done with that story yet.
It's going to, according to the solicits, at least, it looks like it's going to be ramping to a close down in July. That finally, so the story that's been being told since the start of the rebirth, or even prior to that, since Abnett took over in the New 52 with the DCU era, like, it's finally coming to a close. And I'm just like, I don't know if I'm ready for this, If anything, I would love Kelly Sue to like a merit title.
Yeah,
and have Abnett.
That's what I mean. It could make sense if the whatever happens for Aquaman afterwards with Mera being Queen of Atlantis. Like, how does that shape how the Aquaman title works then? Like, maybe it's more... Maybe Mera's way more involved than she was even before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's... I mean, with all these rumors, there was a... What, that report? You said there was a report that Bendis tried to get Matt Fraction to come over and do a book too, right?
Yeah, it was going to be a Jimmy Olsen, Friend of Superman kind of esque title, which would be... Like, that title, in its original day, like, that was, like, the golden age, where it's just like, yeah, let's just fuck around. Like, yeah. This is where Jimmy Olsen turned into a giant turtle and fought Superman.
They did some weird shit back in the day.
Yeah. Don't stop me. I must eat this. Or Superman using his heat vision to melt a knife and then drink the molten steel. That also happened. Also off on the rumors from Bleeding Cool, David Walker joining on a second Flash title, which...
That one's pretty believable.
Yeah. David Walker did Nighthawk for Marvel. He also did the Cyborg title during the DCU era with Ivan Reyes, and he told one of like the coolest what does it mean to be human stories. So I would love for him to come over and do that secondary Flash title, especially since Wally isn't appearing, or Strawberry Wally isn't appearing post No Justice so far on any team.
Yeah, he could. Yeah.
Back to the Speed Force.
No. And especially, you know, Brett Booth isn't working on anything with Abnett anymore. So people are like, did Brett Booth finally get his wish of doing the Wally West solo title?
That'd be pretty neat.
Yeah.
Now back to the Speed Force.
Well, let's see.
For another some odd years.
What, another month until July solicits come out?
No, they're already out.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So this would be August at the minimum, if these are true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, was the Matt Fraction one. But apparently it just didn't work out with Matt Fraction. But I think he would be perfect for it.
It would be a very... It'd be a very probably comedic-driven book.
I was going to say it'd be like Hawkeye, but not.
Not as depressing.
Yeah. But yeah, those are all the rumors for the supposed Fresh Start initiative. The one I'm just banking on is having Grant Morrison write Green Lantern.
That one would be really cool to see happening. And I mean, yeah, like you said, dude, they brought him back for Wild Hunt. It's like, hey, do you want to do even more cosmic shit? Because we still haven't gotten Multiversity 2.
And I think in his last AMA, he said there really hasn't been any work on it because he was working on Wonder Woman Earth 1 Volume 2.
I forgot he did that recently. It's not like he has bad blood with DC or anything. He just took a break.
Yeah. Plus, he's the editor at Heavy Metal. So it's like the dude's busy. It's like Azzarello just kind of like, I'm going to do creator-owned stuff for a while to Image. And then we haven't seen Azzarello since. Especially since, well, like, a lot of people are like...
Master Race.
Yeah. A lot of people are just, like, pissed off at Rucka for, like, disregarding all of Azzarello's stuff. But, you know, he's like, but not really, it all did happen. Just not my Diana. She's not no God of War.
Not that God of War. Not yet.
Yeah. I'm just looking at Steve.
So we're not transitioning to that yet,
are we? No, not yet.
No. Yeah, I mean, with all these titles going on, it's just very interesting to see, like, what is going to happen. Because in July, we also get Catwoman with Joelle Jones, so yeah, this could be, like, the next wave of rebirth coming in.
Steve Orlando's Wonder Woman starts then. Which, yep. I'm wondering if they're going to solidify, like, a continuing writer for that book again. Because they've just been kind of doing, placeholder writers. It's like, hey, here's like, a 6 to 12 issue story. And then we're done.
Yeah, so it was Rucka from like 1 to 34. Then Shea Fontaine came in. James Robinson's doing his run right now.
And his ends in July. No, July. I thought ends in June because Steve Orlando starts in July.
Yeah, he's the second issue.
Oh, because right.
Biweekly.
Biweekly.
Yeah, well, it seems like a lot of those titles, what's happening is that they're doing the long continuous run, like an anthology issue where a bunch of people can come in and play with the character. Like in July, there's a Marguerite Bennett Batgirl issue as well.
I might just pick up that issue alone.
It's an anthology. And it's cool to see. I'm really glad they're doing these anthologies just because it's like, I want to see other creators play with people's toys.
It makes you wonder if they're just testing the waters too to see the reception of readers. It's like, oh, this, we really like this story. We want to see more from this person. Like, okay, yeah, once they're done, let's approach them with this. Like, maybe, I don't know if that's how it works at all.
Yeah, it does bum me out that Steve Orlando, Supergirl is ending, JLA is ending. He's going to be doing the unexpected.
Supergirl already ended.
It ended this month.
Oh.
So those two titles are done. He's doing the unexpected with a... And he's like really bumping it. It's like, hey, for all of you fans of Midnighter, also hella gay action hero, read it. And I'm like,
it's not the same though.
I'll actually pull up.
It's not the scary gay Batman.
Scary gay leather Batman. It's still my favorite line.
It's a great line.
Oh, he just said, just now turned in the first script on the most important DC Comics project I've ever done. Nervous, excited, proud, all those things and so much more. I'm like, oh shit, what's he going to be writing? Is it Hot Girl? Give us Hot Girl.
The Authority? Are they coming back?
I don't know, man. Okay. Think I'm going to talk a bit more about hashtag the unexpected this week here. For hashtag Midnighter readers, hashtag Firebrand should hit a lot of enjoyable notes. Hit being the key word. A tough as nails hashtag LGBT ass kicker that gets tougher the longer the fight goes on. And I'm like, all right. That's very Steve Orlando. So I think I've picked up every number one of the Dark Universe titles so far. The New Age of Heroes, just to kind of get a feel for him.
Yeah.
Sideways reads exactly like Spider-Man, which is awesome.
I picked up Brimstone and I was like, huh, this is Ghost Rider.
Huh, like, DC Ghost Rider.
Huh, the Terrifics. Fantastic Four.
So good. Love the Terrifics. So in the July solicits, we also have all of the Bendis Superman titles officially out after the Man of Steel miniseries. So Superman number one, Action Comics 1001. You have the Justice League Odyssey, Justice League Dark, Justice League regular.
And these are all Bendis?
No.
Okay. Well, you said like the Bendis titles got, and I was like, how much is he fucking writing?
How many just the did two. They give him?
Yeah. I'm excited for Batman 50, personally.
The Wedding.
Batman 51. Not the wedding.
After the wedding. The honeymoon.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He goes on jury duty.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be super hype. For me, at least. Tom
King's got to do the line of, well, I'm Batman.
I can't lie. I'm under oath.
Yeah. Catwoman number one is coming. Art Germ's doing variants for it. So, you know, the issue one is going to sell out. I told John, he's like, you want to pick up Catwoman? I'm like, I'll do the first issue, and then I'm probably going to come back the same day and tell you to put the rest on. So Catwoman's solicit for July. The wedding night's barely over, but Catwoman's back on the streets, this time to expose a copycat who's pulling heist around Gotham City. As Selina cracks the whip on her former criminal cohorts, she's attracting unwanted attention from Gotham's most dangerous groups. The mob? Nope. Try the GCPD. And as if the Batbride didn't have enough problems, don't miss the debut of an all-new villain determined to make trouble for all nine of Selina's lives. Don't miss the start of an all-new monthly series written and illustrated by Eisner Award nominee Joelle Jones.
So have they even talked about who's marrying who?
Is it Batwoman's marrying Cat. Or Batman is marrying Catwoman.
There you go. But Bruce Wayne is not marrying Selina Kyle.
I doubt that.
I don't think they've...
I think we'll have the private wedding.
Yeah.
And Lois and Superman will be there and no one else.
Nah, it'll be the whole Justice League.
Yeah, it'll be the whole Justice League plus Lois.
Maybe
and the
some,
Bat
maybe
family.
Some
and
of,
the Bat family,
the Bat family, maybe some of Batman's rogues. Like, Like, what the fuck is Poison Ivy doing here?
So issue 50, it's the wedding you never thought you'd see. The batrimony is real as Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle are set to tie the knot in a can't-miss extra-length milestone issue that will reshape Gotham City. All their friends and a few enemies will be a party to a comic book coupling for the ages. So yeah, I guess we're going to get...
Do you think Damian will refer to Catwoman ever as mom?
We can only hope.
Mother?
So, no. Mother is reserved for Talia because it's a very bitter mother.
Hello, stepmother.
Hello, mother.
So Batman 50 is going to be $5, 48 pages. Art by Michael Yannon, David Finch, Joelle Jones, Mitch Gerrits, Raphael Albuquerque, Neil Adams, Andy Kubert, Becky Cloonan, Ty Templeton, Jose Luis, Garcia Lopez, what? Frank Miller, Lee Barima, and more.
What the shit? So everybody gets a page.
Eat your heart out, action.
And then 51... The honeymoon's over for Bruce Wayne as Gotham City's most prominent citizen gets selected for jury duty in a chilling court case involving Mr. Freeze. Freeze claims the charges should be dismissed because Batman used excessive force, cue the outrage and media circus. Well, while doing his civic duty, Wayne's forced to take a hard look at the Dark Knight's methods. And hey, what is Dick Grayson doing running around the city as Batman? Dick Bats!
He's back!
Oh my god, Dick Bats, and then he's gonna have Damian as his Robin?
Yes.
Father and son together again.
There's also a summer issue coming out in July, the DC Beach Blanket Bad Guy Special.
Oh my god.
Written by Paul Dini, Lee Barima, Gabriel Hardman, Karina Bechko, Tim Seeley, Shea Fontaine, and more. And it's just like a quick little anthology series. And I just love that DC keeps doing them. Like, the holiday series are fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. The Valentine's Day issue was great. Love is Love, which they did with IDW. It's yep. Super cool. Also, hot off the presses. Sorry, hot.
It was so hot that you jumbled your words.
Injustice versus He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
But who has the power?
Tim Seeley does.
Well, technically Adam, because he's the only one who can actually access the powers of the sword. Otherwise, it's just a useless sword to everyone else. And otherwise, if he doesn't have the sword, he's just Adam, and Battle Cat isn't Battle Cat. And
yep.
So is Skeletor there?
Skeletor.
Probably. He'll probably team up with Dick Soups.
So, believing the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe defeated a robotic imposter. Impostinator has seized control of Eternia, but not for long. After freeing his kingdom from this strongman's rule, Prince Adam learns not everyone is pleased to see the pretender deposed, but Adam knows the value of freedom. So when heroes from another dimension ask his aid in deposing a superhero-turned-dictator, he agrees. Teaming up with Batman against Superman of the Injustice Universe, He-Man and his new allies will face dangerous and familiar enemies in a battle where no world is safe.
You know, it sounds like a weird team-up, but it's no Justice League Power Rangers.
I was going to say, it's no Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's no Batman getting swooped up by a robotic pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Getting the Tyrannosaurus.
So, I still remember my favorite picture. I have to see if I still have it.
Batgirl 25, which is going to be the anthology, written by Marguerite Bennett, Margaret Scott, and Paul Dini, with art by Dan Panassian, Paul Pelletier, and Emanuela Lupacino. On her return to Gotham City, family matters force Barbara to confront her complicated relationship with Dick Grayson. But does Dick have time for a heart-to-heart while subbing as Batman when Bruce Wayne is out of action? This extra-sized anniversary issue also offers a look at the next arc of the series by Margaret Scott and Paul Pelletier as the monstrous villain grotesque murders wealthy art owners and defiles their bodies to create his own art.
Oh, neat.
Jesus. I'm on board. And since this issue keeps on giving, also look for a special backup story by Harley Quinn co-creator Paul Dini and artist Emmanuel Lupacino.
Paul Dini is an interesting character because he just like comes in every now, just out of the blue. It's just like, hey, I'm here. I'm still writing stuff.
Yeah. In July, we also have the wrap-up of Brave and the Bold. Brimstone is still going. Cyborg by Marv Wolfman is still going. Crap. Batman versus Deathstroke is still going. Detective Comics is in 985, so we will get 1,000 this year. We also have...
See, if it's bi-weekly.
That's July, yeah, I would make it. By, like, I think it's like end of November.
Yeah, it'll be by the end of the year.
Dan Juergens is going to be taking over Green Lanterns.
Hmm.
Pretty down.
With the sickness?
Yeah. But
wait, is it still going to be Simon and Jessica, though?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, Dan
I'm Juergens. Just wondering what if they were still going to be doing that book with Justice League.
Mm-hmm. It seems interesting just that all these fill-in teams are going to be doing something. Like, right now, we had the Robert Thierry Harley Quinn stuff, and now Sam Humphries is coming in to take over from there. It's very interesting. Like, oh, cool. Jim Lee's not doing Immortal Men anymore. Tyler Kirkman's on art. I mean...
happens every time.
Yeah. Booster Gold's still alive. Thank you, Injustice Tom Taylor. Okay, so the Justice League announcement, John Stewart, Ultraviolet Lantern, believe it. Under the spectrum of the ultraviolet spectrum, John Stewart engages in some ultra violence against his teammates, Flash, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman.
Meanwhile, writes these fucking solicits? Because they just, they love their puns.
The rest of the league investigates the scene of the fallen source wall fragment and encounters not only a horde of giant monsters, but a pair of longtime arch enemies using stolen Atom technology to literally get under their skin. Best to stock up on cortisone for that sort of itch. All this and the turtle. Yep.
Okay.
That's the solicit. And then we also have the Legion of Doom coming back.
Meanwhile.
God, all my miniseries are ramping up to close in July, too.
Well, the way DC's going, they'll have more.
Yeah. Plastic Man. That's already coming out. I'm like, yep, sign me up. Gail Simone Plastic Man. Let's do this.
It's only a matter of time.
Dude, I can't fucking wait. I think that's all the anthology stuff that's happening. Yeah. Yeah.
But also happening in July.
Christmas?
No, it's not Christmas into July.
Christmas?
No. There's no Santa.
How dare you? I still believe.
No, I'm just saying he's not going to be there in July.
What if he was?
Maybe he's on vacation.
Okay, that's fair. What's happening, Zach?
Spider-Gwen is ending.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which, it's kind of fitting, I think. Like, we've been speculating for a while. It's like, what's going to happen with Spider-Gwen? Are Latour and Rodriguez just going to end it on themselves? Or are they going to pass it off to somebody else? Finally get our answer from Newsarama is... Spider-Gwen ending in July, announced by Latour. And he says, quote, all I can say is it's been an incredible journey. A little itch in the back of our minds became one shot that last... Wait, hang on, let me reread that. A little itch in the back of our minds became a one shot that lasted 41 issues as of issue 34, which is coming out in July. Spanned across nearly every... form of media and inspired countless cosplayers and artists. Gwen Stacy changed our lives forever, and now she gives us one last gift, the chance to wrap up her story. The chance to wrap up her story up the way we always intended. So.
But she's going to come back as Ghost Spider in Marvel Rising?
Really?
The animated series?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where it's the team up with, like, Kamala and, Carol and so on and so forth. Squirrel Girl. I feel like whenever we went to C2E2 was when like the Robbie Rodriguez was, yeah, that was at its high, and he also said he was retiring.
Yeah.
And he's like, yep, Gwen was gonna be my last story, and we're like, oh man, that's such a bummer. When is that gonna happen? It's just like
two and a half years later.
Oh, we're done.
We're almost there.
Yeah. And it's cool that it was originally just that one shot, because originally it was supposed to be Spider-Ben, but Dan Slott didn't want that to happen because Uncle Ben was a really big part of, I almost said Shattered Grid, but Edge of the Spider-Verse. Shattered Dimension was the other one. There we go. GameCube game.
Yeah.
Xbox game.
Yeah. That generation. Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's fitting. Again, Marvel just can't ending books for us.
Well, I mean, they're ending it on their terms, true, at the very least. But, I mean, it's like, everyone's kind of like, where's Miles? He's in Champions still, but where's Miles?
You mean he's in Champions?
Champions. Like, and then same thing with Riri. It's like, what's going to happen to her? Where's Miles?
Riri's like, all right, you had your own title, but Tony Stark's coming back, so
we got to scoot you over here.
And Bendis is leaving, so Champions.
Nobody understands why we're doing that voice.
Sugar Pine 7, check him out.
Look for Alfredo.
So, speaking of live action things like Sugar Pine 7, we have the Bleach animated or Bleach live action trailer.
Based the on Bleach the... animated live action trailer. What? Wait, hold
on. Zach's biggest complaint is
the sword is too small.
All right, hold on. Let me put on my big boy weeb pants. Let me anime fix my glasses.
Gotcha.
It seems really interesting. Just like
they're like doing the entire.
It's the first arc.
So,
Grand Fisher, Byakuga, Renji.
I'm sorry, how the fuck did you just pronounce his name?
I don't even know. Byakugan?
It is Byakuya Kuchiki, sir. Kuchiki. And I will thank you to pronounce it properly.
Rengai.
It looks good. So far, it looks beautiful.
The effects actually look pretty solid.
Ichigo's sword is fine.
It's too small.
It is not too small.
Uryu's bow looks fucking awesome.
Now, yeah. There is the nitpick, good sir. At that point, Uryu did not have a physical bow. He had the bow made of Reishi that he just summoned. He did not have the physical bow until they went to Soul Society when he got the glove.
But let's keep in mind, it was blue CGI over the bow.
Yeah, it kind of looks like maybe that they were just doing it.
Let's
show
also
that it
keep
was
in mind,
spirit bow.
There's budget, and a lot of the CGI is probably going to Renji's stupid sword. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, do not hate on Zabimaru. That Zabimaru looked awesome.
It did look awesome. Yeah, but again, I'm just saying.
My guess is they're showing it like as a physical bow because that was easier to animate than doing the full spirit bow.
Spirit bow.
It's probably,
but it takes away from the impact of when he gets the glove and has the physical bow.
But will they get a second movie is the question.
I don't know. I mean, it looks promising.
I think they're already working on the Full Metal Alchemist sequel. But also, the first Hollow that Ichigo fights did not use a Sero. They were clearly showing that Hollow is using a Sero. Never used it.
You really are like wearing your weeb pants.
Except I will nitpick the fuck at it, but I'm still gonna watch it.
Out of all of them, this one actually looks like the action in it looks actually pretty legit. Like it looks pretty cool.
And I was kind of like, all right, how are they going to do the Sheik eyes? But clearly they made Zabimaru work. So.
She goes, it's just a bigger sword, that's all.
Yeah. I think
it's like, all right, Shikai, here's a giant butcher's knife.
I think what also helps is that all the characters are actually supposed to be Japanese, as far as we know, instead of, you know.
But Chad.
Who is supposed to be Spanish.
Yeah.
Ding-a-ding. Thought he was actually Mexican.
I think he's...
No, he is Mexican, yeah.
He's Hispanic of some sort.
He's from Mexico. Because he taught.
We didn't even see him in the trailer. He didn't even show up.
Neither did Orihime.
Yeah.
Or the country of Chad.
Or Cone. Or Urahara. Or Yoroichi.
Got Rukia.
She's kind of pivotal to the story.
Yeah. Kind of wouldn't happen if she were.
They kind of showed the five characters who are really pivotal to the story. You can kind of take the episodes for Chad and Orihime and just kind of like.
Later. They don't need to happen in this.
Chad is of Mexican and Japanese descent.
Oh. He is Chad Yasutora, I think. Or his real name is Sato Yasutora.
Yeah. But Chad for English audiences.
The Chad.
But Chad and Orihime.
Again, it's just like in
Sikers. Yes, like, all of my favorite Bleach characters. Ichigo, Uryu, Orihime, and Chad.
It's like, again, Cardcaptor Sakura. Yes, look, it's Madison. Sakura,
Sakura's
Soron, Madison.
Sakura's cousin, Madison Taylor.
And then in Citrus, Mei you got Ling. Fucking Yuzu, Mei, Harumi, and then Sarah. Looks solid.
I'm very interested to see how far they actually go. If it's like right as they take Rukia back and the movie, or if they're going to give Ichigo his Zanpakuto back.
Maybe.
Bleach and Naruto, I don't fuck around with. So I will defend 95% of Bleach.
But what about the Naruto stage play musical?
Is that a thing?
Yes. It was the original story of how Naruto got his red scarf that was only important for one movie.
Well, yeah, the red scarf was because Hinata knitted it for him.
Yeah.
Aww. And that's what led to their love.
I'm still tripped up by the Digimon live action stage play. Just like, yes,
it's like,
puppet yes. Tentomon. It's like Omnimon, and some guy runs out in like a Super Sentai outfit.
I thought the Digimon were all like computer generated on the screen, like they projected them.
Oh, fuck, I don't even know. I thought it was like puppetry.
No. I think they projected the Digimon. It's like, yes, I am Agumon. Let me digivolve real quick.
Sure, you are.
Get the costume on. Come on. Get the Greymon costume.
Pull the puppet down and put the other puppet.
Help me.
They get the action figure from Transforming Digivolve Spirits. Stop motion. Yeah. So a lot of people on Reddit seem very positive about the Bleach movie, too. A lot of people are like, yeah, all the actors look really great. This looks good. The Hollows look great. The fight scenes look cool. And I'm like,
we
haven't heard anyone speak yet.
We heard a little bit of dialogue.
I will say, like, I can see where people could have issue with the Full Metal Alchemist movie. Because it's really jarring. The actors-wise... It is kind of like pseudo reverse whitewashing because they're supposed to be European.
Yeah.
Like that was the weirdest thing. The whole thing takes place in Europe.
It's just really weird.
So it's like, oh, look at that guy, Edward Elric, with that blonde ponytail.
My favorite comment on Reddit so far is from user. Crap, where did his comment go? User Bato62. Don't get hype, 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 don't get hype. Second favorite comment is from Demon Sword 619. Huh, damn. This looks pretty awesome. Seems Grand Fisher might be replacing Menos Grande, but damn, he got a big upgrade from what we're used to. Either way, I never thought I would say this, but this movie is getting me pretty hyped.
I kind of hope they don't replace Grand Fisher.
No, they're replacing Menos Grande.
Put Grand Fisher in Menos Grande's place. Because the Grand Fisher scene was so emotional and powerful because he wasn't able to kill him there. And the Menos Grande was like, look at what power they have.
But then it's going to be like, Grand Fisher comes back in the other arc. We're changing the story.
In the probably fourth movie.
Grand Fisher is actually Aizen all along. No, they fuse. Even better.
And then after they die, they become the Quincy's. What?
Wait, what? Hold on, stop.
You're like, well, pump the brakes.
Reverse here real quick.
Kubo, how are you okay with this?
What were you saying?
No, that was it.
I will watch the trailer, like, all right, this looks like another live action anime. And then as soon as I saw Zabimar, I'm like, oh, I feel the hype building.
Let's resist.
That was the one thing I was scared of, but they did it well.
I don't know. I don't know if it's because I jumped shipped after Bleach, after like the lackluster ending that was the Squad Zero and then the war. And then Yaoi's like, no, I'm still infinitely stronger than you are. I'm like, oh, fuck this shit. I'm out.
I was going to say, I will defend 95% of Bleach. The 5% I will not defend is that last fight between, I think it's, oh god, I know I saw something of how to pronounce it.
Yahweh.
Because it's Hebrew.
Yahweh. Which is God in Hebrew.
Yep.
It was a weird pronunciation of his name. Like, it wasn't...
Wasn't it Yahweh? I don't know. Speaking but, of, yeah, just whatever. I just can't get into the hype of anime adaptations anymore. I'm just like, well, it exists. Surely someone will say something that will match my thoughts. I'll look at the internet to find out and form my opinion based off of them. I will become the sheep. I'm just waiting for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Live action adaptation. Let's be real here.
I want to see how they handle those hair physics.
I want to see how they handle 5Ds. Just everyone's on a motorcycle. Car.
Well, no, because
car flies off.
Shit.
You know, they never really did go over the physics of how do the cars stay on the dual disc. Probably
built-in magnets or something. Who knows?
Built-in paper magnets.
Heart of the cards. Magnetic ring.
Heart of the cards. God, shit.
Ah.
Hold on. Let's...
Beep. It's the... Shit, I'm running on track. It's the stop the motorcycle, and then you have to do the awkward waddle walk.
It's like stop the motorcycle, kickstand, run across the track.
My junk! Warrior. Like,
fuck yeah, drew it. Tutor Monster, I got it.
Heard Mike.
In addition to this, fun, just whatever.
Whatever this is.
Yeah, Valve buys Firewatch developer Campo Santo.
So, this is a big deal because Valve owns no other subsidiaries. This is their first one that's outside of, like, actual Valve. So, it's like, are they going to, like, hire them to work on games for them, or are they just going to be owned by them and they're just going to be publishing for them?
That's what I think. It's just very... So this is from the Campo Santo website, saying that Valve has been an obvious match to the studio. Both sides spoke about our values and how, when you get right down to it, we, as human beings, are hard limited by the time we have left when it comes to making the things we care about and believe in. They asked us if we'd be interested in coming up to Bellevue and doing that there, and we said yes.
Jesus, why did... I didn't expect an existential crisis from a press release.
I mean, did you play Firewatch?
No, but I know about it.
Honestly, you should play Firewatch.
I know the twist, unfortunately.
So. It's not even the twist. Just play the game. It's fun.
So apparently the last bad guy in Bleach is pronounced Yuhavok. Comes from Anglo-German.
Makes sense, since the Quincy's were kind of based around German.
And it seems like...
You mean the people with the power of Sternrider were German?
The studio's next game is called The Valley of the Gods.
Yeah, it's a mobile game, I think.
Is it also a walking simulator?
I think it might be. It's either that or like a top-down strategy game, I think.
Walking simulator.
No, I think it is a walking sim.
Oh, hey, Zeus.
I think it's like in Egypt.
Oh, Odin.
Takes place in Colorado at Valley of the Gods.
Plot twist.
You're just super existential. Take a picture. Whoa.
It's you.
I am here. You're in the game at that point.
It's you taking a tour of the Garden of the Gods.
Again, so obviously with Valve actually buying a game studio to develop a game, like, does this mean they want to actually, like, do other games? Like, you know, Portal 3 or anything?
No, they're going to hire them to do Left 4 Dead. Let's be real.
I mean, sure. Why not?
Walking simulator
at
versus
this point,
Left 4 Dead.
Valve will never do a third iteration of their game because you think about it. The second Portal 3 comes out, what will be the outcry?
Half-Life 3.
Where's Half-Life 3?
Where's Left 4 Dead 3?
Left 3 Dead.
I don't know. It's interesting. Game Newell apparently did put out a statement like a few weeks ago, I want to say, in like an interview where he's like, yeah, we want to get back into more game development. So it's like, oh shit, are they actually going to start making games? And well, I guess maybe that involves just buying studios outright.
It's like, we want to make more games. Make games for us.
Please do it for us.
Oh, that's a neat game. Hold on, let me Valve. All right, now you can release it.
Well, it's very similar to... just the way Netflix does things. It's like,
true,
they just
put their stamp on it.
You made this. Here's some more money.
That's a nice looking anime you got there. Netflix.
Just stamp of approval. It's like,
I play my trap card. Netflix release.
Netflix original. It's like, but you didn't make this. Kyoto Animation made it.
Netflix original. Ah, that's a neat little Witch Academia you got there. Netflix original.
Well, there was some joke about that. It's like, all right, now sign here, and now who's your, what are you on by? Netflix original? Good, good.
Well, it's like the, I made this, you made this, I made this. It's like Studio Trigger, Little Witch Academia. I made this. Oh, neat. I made this. Netflix original.
Sorry, just a random update. Is that Kevin Feige came out to say what's going to be the first official Marvel movie of Phase 4?
And?
Spider-Man Homecoming 2!
Still no Captain Marvel.
Spider-Man Spring Cotillion.
Well, still
no Captain Marvel.
So this is coming from IO9. So speaking to Marvel Studio President Kevin Feige Sunday, IO9 confirmed that the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming, which will be the official start of Phase 4 of the MCU, won't be primarily set in New York. Meaning that we're going to be filming early July.
Wow. Again,
next month.
Again, they're going to get a sequel to Spider-Man out before Captain Marvel, which has already been filming for several months, is even done.
Wait, hold on. Pause real quick. When are they going to start filming?
Early July.
You said that was next month. What month are we in, Zachary?
We're in April. I just got really excited.
What's the next month that comes after April?
July, obviously.
Well, I get confused because it's Maple right now. Mario Kart Maple. We're all aware of this, right?
No.
We're in the third week of Maple.
Why are you calling it Maple?
So, Achievement Hunter, who did Mario Party March, decided to keep going with the Mario things and did Mario Kart. So they're calling it Mario Kart Maple.
They didn't want to wait till May.
Oh my god.
So that's Maple. And that was the last thing I saw on my phone. Oh, okay. So they're starting in early July. They're going to film in London. The first shot of the film is in Atlanta. They're also filming continuously in London. And Spidey will also be spending time in New York. But he'll spend some time in other parts of the globe as well. Granted, I mean, Thor movie. It's like, yes, we're in Sweden, Norway, some Scandinavian country. But they're filming in Georgia.
Yeah.
It's like,
green screen.
Here we are in New York. It's actually London.
It's whatever that studio is.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called.
So Feige obviously wouldn't expand on Peter Parker, why Peter Parker will be traveling abroad, but it seems a safe bet it'll have to do with whatever happens to the character in Infinity War and Avengers 4.
Wait. Young Avengers potentially? Question mark?
The way Civil War...
I'm putting together a team.
Feige goes on to say the way Civil War and the fact that he has to go to Leipzig airport and then has to go back to school informed in Homecoming, the two Avenger films that precede the sequel will greatly inform probably even more so the next movie. So we finally have globe-trotting Spider-Man. So it's like, I just want to imagine Dan Slott sitting at his desk, like doing the finger roll thing. It's like, yes, globe-trotting.
Excellent. Excellent. My mark has been left.
Yeah. They also updated the Fantastic Four art to include Franklin and Valeria on the cover.
Ooh.
And Dan Slott also said, it's like, yes, the core four are going to be there, but Franklin and Valeria. And kind it looks like they're aging them up,
you
too.
You know, actual God.
Franklin Richards, Omega level mutant. Not mutate, mutant. They're allowed important. To use the M word. It is their word.
That is our word. That is a Fox word.
I do enjoy the fact, too, that the best thing that's come out of Infinity War so far is the lack of Hawkeye and people just memeing it.
Everybody's just like freaking out. I was like, where's Hawkeye?
There's two camps of like, Hawkeye doesn't need to be in this movie and Hawkeye's going to save the world.
He's Ronin.
That would be pretty cool if Hawkeye is like the one who just fucking takes
Thanos
like,
out. Oh no, we're all going to die. You all said I was worthless. Picks up the Infinity Gauntlet. Now who's worthless? I will rewrite this universe.
This explodes.
Everyone
explodes
has
from
arrows.
The energy.
It is my... Where'd he go?
Oh, he's gone. He's gone forever.
He went to the Hawkeye cinematic universe.
One of the big things, Marvel has their Avengers Back to Basics comic out right now, and something happened, like a wave hit everyone, and they got reverted back to like their 60s outfits, and Cap turns back into Nomad and like takes a step and immediately falls over. Why did I think a cape was a good idea? Everyone looks at Carol. It's like, so bare thighs and a bare stomach, huh? Interesting choice there, Carol. So stupid. But, I mean, we have Nomad. We're going to be great. And also some weird, I saw this on Twitter, but someone tweeted out Cap, a clip from, or a picture from Avengers Infinity War. And it shows Ant-Man standing next to Steve Rogers, who is no longer bearded. He has his hair slicked back in the way he was in the first Avengers movie.
But the glorious beard.
Yeah, so it looks like, oh, cool, time gem, time travel, great.
Just perfect. What we needed.
If only there was a way to explain it, like maybe a stone that manipulates time.
Or reality. Oh,
I said gem, didn't I? Look, man, back in my day, they used to be the Infinity Gems, not the stones.
Not the Infinity Easter Eggs, either.
God, thanks, Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about Action 1000, even though I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet?
Could, I guess. Also,
we could hold off till next week when you actually read it, because we only read two stories. I could always just buy a
digital
it.
Version of it. That's all.
But the physical joy of 1,000. I'm trying to
stop collecting.
Yeah, but just having 1,000.
It's true.
You must go past
it. It's like the guy that just buys number ones. You can be that guy.
Or you can be that guy. It's like, oh, first appearance of this person. I don't know any of the series, but Teen Titans, you're mine. Oh, what's that?
Never be that.
I will Shattered never be Grid that. Is sold out? Sure, let me sell a complete set of the helmets on eBay for $150. Goddamn scalpers.
Every time.
First appearance of Peter in the MCU. Everyone's going crazy. And the fact that it's the character from Deadpool, Peter.
Oh, that guy.
He has an actual Twitter account. Like, just, he's a beekeeper. And he just talks about how he's joining the X-Force and everything. I'm like, this marketing, I don't this even know if it's marketing. Is this the character they added in the reshoots?
If so, bravo. Way we to got sell him.
Shatterstar.
And Terry Crews.
Really excited.
Do we know who Terry Crews is playing yet?
Yes. They said his name in the trailer.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Domino looks great. What's your power? I'm lucky. Luck isn't a power.
Tell that's a black cat who's unlucky. Skarsgård's in this?
Yes.
They need to be old enough to carry a franchise for at least 10 to 15 years.
Okay. Sorry, I need to go get Kayla. She's outside the door.
Oh. Go. Go get her. Steve, talk about God of War. Go. In the meantime, since I'm going to start it later tonight.
Nah, I don't want to talk about it. It's okay.
Oh, come on. You tease. I should probably mute his mic.
Terry Crews is playing Bedlam.
Terry Crews is playing Bedlam.
There we go.
So, God of War. It's a steaming pile of shit. It's fucking amazing.
Is the hype behind it?
Oh, my God. It deserves it. It is so beautiful. The story is so emotional.
Watching you play it, I'm just like, holy fuck, this looks awesome.
I didn't even care. Like, I've seen some people, and it's kind of true, they refer to it as Dark Souls Light, as far as the combat goes.
Yeah.
Which it gets tough at times.
I mean, there were scenes that reminded me of the Witcher style of combat, which, I mean, I don't know if that really, like, they really didn't, like, come up with anything new.
Witcher kind of evolved from Dark Souls, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's just kind of the style that they went with, is the third-person action over-the-shoulder fighting.
Which, again, some fights get hard, but at the same time, like, I just got done with a fight where I'm fighting a Revenant, which is like a poison witch, and two super hard soldiers, while a dragon is shooting its breath down at us.
Good lord.
And, like, depending on where you're in the stage depends on what kind of breath it shoots. So I'm like, I'm going to keep luring him to the middle, because then he'll just do a straight line of breath, and then I can beat the shit out of him. So it's very good, like, tactical-wise. Like, you have to think, like, how do I approach this battle?
It's interesting that they, like, toned the way they, like, shifted, like, the old beat-em-up action style of gameplay to, like, all right, Kratos is older. He's still a god, but he's a little bit slower here.
And, you know, at first I thought I would miss that. Like, again, like, watching the Funhouse video where they were right, like, it's like 5 minutes into this satire. God of War, 5 minutes into the first God of War. It's like, oh, nice emotional story. First God of War, fighting a fucking Leviathan. It's like, I thought I would miss that. It's like, no, like, I'm more invested in this emotional story. of like watching Kratos become an actual papa because he has no choice but to. Like, even the very first scene, you chop down a tree.
Mm-hmm. And Kratos is that. He's just like fucking one hands. I'm like, oh yeah, he's still a god. But like, Don't forget.
He's taking the time like chopping down a tree, and then his bandages come off a little bit. And it's just this moment of him staring at his wrists of like, oh shit. Remembering the Spartan life and then just putting him back on. Like, nope, I'm done with that. And then just one arm over the shoulder carrying a tree. Just like, whatever. Like, I fucking care. Deal.
He's very tall in comparison to every other character we see in that game, too.
I mean, he is half god.
Demigod.
Well, it was just like sitting on the couch watching you play. It was like, man, this game looks good. This is probably one of those games that's like, if you didn't own a PS4, you should go out and buy one.
Yeah. And like, let me put it this way. Like, God of War was not on my radar at all until I like started hearing things about it, seeing the gameplay. I'm just like, wow, this actually looks like it's worth my time.
And you know what? It is, let it be known, it is one of the few holy grails. It looks better than its E3 demos.
We've done it.
We actually finally improved on the E3 footage.
Well, it's like, too, you came to a point last time, it's like, huh, this is the E3 demo. And then, how far did you just learn that you are in the game?
So I was looking through just for shiggles of like, I feel like I'm getting far in this game, I kind of want to slow it down, and I look through and I'm like, alright, I'm on chapter 6. Scroll through, oh, there's 16 chapters.
Whew.
And that's just straight chapters, not side dungeons, mm-hmm. not exploration, not 100%ing, that's just straight A to B story. Like, even now, I'm like, alright, I'm going to go do the story mission. Got to one of the smiths, and it's like, oh, you found this cipher, so now you can go to another realm. I can make stuff from that realm. And I looked at him like, huh. Well, time to go to the fire realm. Fuck you, story. Because I want the whole set of fire armor and Surtur's axe pommel. Which I hope I get to actually fight Surtur.
And that would be a legit-ass boss fight.
They do a fan... Well, I just fought a fucking Norse dragon. And that was an amazing... You watched me fight the dragon.
It was cool.
Yeah. Like, it was a very cinematic fight that had very specific mechanics, and then ended with one of the most Kratos moments ever.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't want to spoil, because it's a fucking awesome moment. And now I'm like, huh. I want to fight more giant things.
Yeah, just watching, I'm like, yet this was actually how I imagined God of War was during the PS2 era. Just like the balls to the wall insane.
But now you have like a good story to back it up.
It's always had a good story.
Angry Man goes and kills things?
Because things betrayed him.
Yes,
but God of War 1. His whole goal was to kill Ares because A, the rest of the gods were tired of his shit, and B, he wanted revenge because it turns out that Ares made him kill his wife and child in a blind rage. God of War 2, he gets betrayed by the gods because they're getting tired of Kratos' shit. Like, you're going too crazy. You're done. It's like, all right, fine. I'm going to go fight Zeus. Zeus kills him, sends him to hell. He fights his way out of hell and goes to the three fates. Like, I'm going to go back in time. I'm going to beat the shit out of Zeus. God of War 3 is like, all right, I'm going to go further back, get the Titans. We're going to go beat the shit out of Zeus.
God of War 4, I need to put my wife's ashes to rest.
It's like, ah.
Come here, boy.
It's like, my wife's last wish, to spread her ashes on the tallest peak in all of the realms. Well, I'll take my son, too, and learn to be a father.
Probably should have gotten around to that sooner, but better late than never.
I think I finally picked up on like the whole aspect from when I was watching Steve play. It was like, everyone's like, you should really tell your son your secret that you're a god.
Even just the brief glimpses I saw, I'm like, man, Atreus is just running with all this really well.
Because like, he doesn't know all this in. He doesn't know what he is either. He just thinks he's a person. Mm. Little does he know that he is potentially
part god.
He is potentially a
what's blood demigod?
What is a quarter god? Is it just quarter god?
Demigod.
But like the delineation of like, there's not like half gods and then quarter gods. It's all under demigods. Yeah. And it's like he's running cool with the fact like, oh, I'm part, like, I'm a demigod. But then it's like, he doesn't know. Don't tell him.
It's like the elves in Lord of the Rings, just like one drop of blood. Yeah, like, you live like forever. Aragorn's a freaking 80-year-old man by the time we meet him in Fellowship, and it's like, ooh, daddy.
Ooh, that snack.
Ooh, that Strider.
And
how much do you want to bet, though? Like, yes, you must scatter my ashes in the tallest peak. Well, wife, you didn't tell him where the tallest peak is. And it's like,
I'm now in, like,
and now you're
Niflheim
going
to, somehow. I don't know how I got here. Well,
now you're going to Jotunheim. Yeah. So I'm like,
it's like, I went to Alfheim, and it's like, oh, now I got to go to Jotunheim.
But now my thought process is, Kratos, did you bang a frost giant? Like, I have some serious considerations.
Well, that's right why now. I said, like, only right now, I only think that Atreus is quarter god. It could be some shit of, like, not he banged a god, so he's three quarters god.
He banged one of the Norse gods. Or, like, some daughter of a Norse god.
Yeah.
Because there
it's
is
possible.
There is some very intriguing backstory that, like, in the original God of Wars, it was like, nah, full, like, in your face gods and demigods. Now it's like, maybe a god. Like, there's the world serpent. Have fun in Alfheim.
Yeah, it's Steve and I were talking about at some point Troy Baker and Nolan North are going to appear. And I'm like,
because it is confirmed that they are in the game somewhere.
And then we ran into them during that conversation.
Well, no, it was, you look at them and you're like, oh, Matt Mercer's in this. I wonder what he is. Oh, and like 30 seconds later, I'm climbing up a cliff.
Oh, there's
someone
Matt.
Talking like, there's Matt Mercer.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
And we're like, and then I can assume who those characters are just because they do say a specific line.
Yeah, like, there was one, like, they hint at, like, the first person you fight of, like, who they really are, mm-hmm. just, like, through kind of context clues of, even Kratos, like, being kind of hush-hush about it.
Oh, is that, like, the superhero fight?
Yeah, the superhero fight, and, like, the whole fight, the guy's shouting, like, I feel nothing! You're like, all right, I wonder who he is. And then, like, later, Chris, like, hey, your mom told you stories about the gods. Any of them don't feel anything? It's like, yeah, Baldur, why? No reason.
And it makes it very interesting because Atreus gets a power up, and then you meet a witch, Atreus. And then the witch destroys his power up. And it's like, huh.
Interesting.
I was telling Steve, I'm like, well, it makes perfect sense why the witch did that.
But yeah,
it's really cool just watching.
All right. So I'll. Do you guys think that, like, we're gonna have, like, just another wave of just, like, Norse mythology based stuff now?
I think so.
The Norse.
There is one little bit that got spoiled for me because of YouTube. Because fucking, why can't people keep spoilers off the internet for a fucking?
I don't know
week?
How I didn't get Horizon spoiled, and it took me like 4 or 5 months to play that game.
Well, and like the only reason I got spoilers is because of the fucking recommendations on Watch History. Because I watched a couple other things of God of War. It's like, oh, you must want everything related to God of War.
No,
here's a spoilers because people can't fucking keep spoilers out of the titles. It can't be like Kratos meets Redacted or Kratos meets spoiler. It's
dude,
Kratos
he meets
here's the actual name. So I'm like, well, cool. Which also gives me thinking, like, because I saw this one, like, well, if that's that part, then they're going to have to do more if they want to expand on it. Which, as of right now, I'm down for a trilogy of the Norse Kratos.
This seems like a soft reboot of the franchise in general anyway, so.
Like, it's a very soft reboot. This is more of a sequel than a soft reboot. Because.
Well, soft reboot in terms of, like, this is a completely different style of game.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Resident Evil approach.
Right.
Where every 3 games, they seem to change it up.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are speculating that this is going to be like, well, this is like, people are going to look back and this is like, yeah, this was a defining moment in like how action RPGs were.
Yeah. Like, seeing as this is getting masterpiece ratings, which I wholeheartedly agree right now. Like, the only nitpicky thing, which doesn't really take away from it for me, is I do miss that when you beat like a super boss, Kratos gets a new ability.
Naturally.
Like the first God of War, they just handed you the god's abilities, like,
or like their equipment or something.
Well, it's like the first one you walk up and like, all right, to help take down Ares, here's the thunder of Zeus, or here's this, or here's that. And then the second one is like, all right, you just killed Medusa. you now rip off her head, and now you have Medusa's gaze and get to rebuild a stone. Or whatever, you killed a god, you have his ability now. Like Hercules, you get his knuckles, or Hermes, you get his boots. Apollo, you get his head. Which was just like, yeah, I get your boots, I get your gloves. Head, I please!
Need I need that.
And now I have the power of a solar flare in my hand. And they do kind of do that where it's like, you get extra abilities, like Atreus gets upgrades, and mm-hmm. But I do miss of like, ah, I just beat Hades, now I get the weapon of Hades.
I mean, well, who needs anything when you have a fucking axe that comes back to you at will? Which is still one of the coolest fucking things I've ever seen. It's like, this is what a Thor game would be like.
And I do like how it's actually incorporated into the puzzles. Before, like, you would use, like, maybe a couple weapons. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, this one, you need to shoot that over there. All right, use your bow. Or you need to use the Wings of Icarus to get up here. Now it's like, well, you only have this one weapon. It's going to be used in puzzles. Like, you do a bridge, you let it go, it falls down. What are you going to do? Take your axe that has the power of ice, stick it, there you go.
I don't know, the Frost Giant theory could it has some levity.
Yeah.
It's like, why does he have an ice-powered axe? Where did he get that from?
He got it from his wife. It's made clear that it's his wife's axe that he left for him.
Again. Where did she get this axe?
Oh, that's revealed.
Again. Oh, okay.
A lot is revealed. Like I said, I'm in chapter 6, and there's a lot of information that's already been given to me. But there's still, again, 10 chapters of information that I have yet to get.
Yeah. I as a sideliner, it's been incredibly, like, just fun to watch Steve play. Like, I had no interest in playing God of War. It's just not my style of game. You know, after all, it's a linear-based story game. Let's be real here.
But it's
those not. Don't do well.
Those games just don't do well. Who knows? It's linear in the fashion that there's just one driving thing. Like, in the same way, you can call Horizon Zero Dawn linear. But it's a very entertaining thing. I just love the spin on mythos. And kind of going back to your previous thing, are we going to see a whole slew of Norse things coming out? I doubt it.
I don't know. I just keep seeing more and more of it, like... We're kind of moving away from, like, the Greek and Roman things.
I would say that change happened maybe 2 or 3 years ago with Rick Riordan writing the Magnus Chase books, which are the Norse mythology ones. And that's where I first kind of thought, because it's like, oh, yeah, Thor's popular, so let's do things with Thor.
I would maybe put the start of the Norse sooner with Skyrim.
Because
Skyrim was very Norse-based.
And then you got
like everything was like Scandinavian.
So which year when Skyrim came out?
2011.
The first one. The first iteration.
The first Skyrim. Got it.
Not Skyrim HD or Skyrim Switch or Skyrim VR or Skyrim 4D. Skyrim 2, the Skyrim.
Right now it seems like we're getting just faced with like a wave of nostalgia again. Because it's like, why yes, here's your Uncharted 4th game. But yes, here is your Crash Bandicoot. Wait, Crash Bandicoot did well? Fuck. Spyro.
Spyro, which I'm
pumped. Spyro's doing well in pre-sales? We're going to make a new Crash Bandicoot game. But it's not Naughty Dog because they need to work on The Last of Us.
I will say, though, Atreus takes the cake for best sidekick in terms of... I'd tie him with Ellie in terms of story, but in terms of usefulness, by far the best sidekick ever.
I was going to argue with you originally. I'm like, bitch, Ellie's the best. And now I've actually watched you play. I'm like, oh,
even in like combat where he's just like calling out where enemies are, I'm like, wow, that's super fucking useful.
Yeah, and now
but he's... The dumpster button.
Now he's upgraded to the point where he will actually stun enemies. He will climb on top of them, choke them, and stun them while doing damage. And then I could run up and be like, combo, motherfucker! It's like, oh, you keep blocking my attack? Keep looking at me.
Come on, look at me.
Now, child. And he'll jump on him, strangle him, and then I can combo the fuck out of him. It's like, he is the most useful escort sidekick ever. I've only had one instance where I had to save him, and that's because I didn't know I had to save him. When it's like, one, a type of enemy can grab him and like hold him, but won't like walk away with him. He'll just hold him. And like, all right, axe, throw. All right, let's get back to work.
We got things to kill.
It's not like, help me, Leon.
All right.
Pap.
Just the fact that Atreus saves your life, too.
Yeah.
Where it's he like brings you back.
Or you're... yeah, fighting something, and then you just see an arrow, and the guy starts getting electrocuted. And,
and I'm like, again, the power of revives is in your son's hand. He holds the resurrection stones.
I saw that, and I was like, all right, he's already fucking useful.
What is weird, though, is if... because there were a couple times where I had the stone, but I decided not to revive. I'm like, fuck, I'm just going to restart this battle. You still see him running over, pulling out the stone.
Don't worry.
Like, in slow-mo, you're like, it's like, it's like, wait, does he still revive you if I don't hit the button? It's like, no, I don't want to come back to life. Let me die, son.
Or are you just, like, sitting over there in the corner like, yes?
Dad?
I'll help. I'm ready.
Dad, okay. Wake up.
Dad. I can save you, Dad.
Love me. Yeah. I like I said, if you consider getting God of War and looked at things and you liked it, go check it out. I think I saw Target actually has a PS4 Pro God of War.
Yeah, they have
they had a bundle. They had a bundle that sold out quickly at Best Buy.
Yeah, there's like a white one, and I'm
it's white with runes on it, and I was like, I kind of want
it. I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I did get my tax return, but I don't play video games.
Fuck it, so, porks.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a $30 pork Funko Pop.
God. Fucking children everywhere.
You bought $30 Funko Porg, and then bought a stuffed Porg.
$20 pillow Porg.
And then bought two mini Porgs.
$5 Porg and Porgette.
You have Porgwick, Michael B. Porgin. Oh, man.
Yeah, God of War. Super great, super emotional story. Like, there are some heavy fucking scenes.
Can't wait.
Like, the one of the last cutscenes when you're in Alfheim is such a good scene, like start to finish. There was a point, well, I had no point where I was like, I cannot look away. I must keep watching what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize Atreus is a badass.
Nice. And with that,
are we ending?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm reading an article that kind of surprised me.
Go read Shattered Grid Part 2, Power Rangers 26.
Yeah, I gotta go pretty soon.
Periphery left Sumerian Records.
What?
Yeah. Apparently on not so great terms, according to the manager.
Ugh.
But Periphery's still doing Periphery, so
that's
fuck
good.
Whatever.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
But now that they've broken out of the Sumerian label, maybe they just get to do a tour with whatever bands they want.
Maybe.
Can we get a Periphery Good Tiger tour?
Oh my god,
please.
The Best Friends Tour America Edition.
Looking at you, Vela Maya, who's still under Sumerian. Yeah.
I too listen to music.
But not the way we do.
No.
Not the way I do, even. Like, no. Zach, he's very casual. He listens to things. I like, did you see this post? I know everything about this band, including their drum kits.
Yeah. You see, they tuned in this octave so that they could get this sound?
Yeah, like the new Monuments. They're using Gagdad drop C tuning.
It's been so long since I know what that means.
It's all great.
So thank you guys for
listening to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. As always, you can hit us up on the Facebook, the Twitter, and
z2podcast.com/comment, which I checked it yesterday. There was still nothing, but I will check it right now.
And we will always read whatever you say to us live on air.
Or YouTube, Jim, whenever you catch up.
Yeah, we have a friend that like saves 7 months worth of episodes and just marathons.
Listen to 20 of our episodes in a week and a half.
I can barely listen to
nothing. Which I was just saying, my question to him is, how do you stand that much of us?
I can't stand that much by myself, and I'm myself. Hopefully we'll bring you some updates on Risk in D&D. Mainly Risk. Conquered the world. Two wins under my belt.
I want more D&D. I want it.
And with that, we bid you all adieu. Thank you, Internet. Love you guys. Bye.